Early in the last century, the amusement park was a place where residents could escape from city life. Although Indianapolis has no amusement parks now, in 1906 we had three of them, Riverside, Wonderland, and White City. I talked with local historian Connie Ziegler about each of the parks. Today, we'll hear the story of Indy's first and longest operating amusement park, Riverside.
Riverside actually opened in 1903 with just a couple of rides, the convex mirror attraction and then an old mill ride, which was a water ride through kind of a tunnel of love sort of ride, I think.
Was it also a streetcar line owner who started Riverside?
It was not a streetcar owner, but it was some private entrepreneurs, one of whom actually worked for the state, J. Clyde Powers, either worked for the state or for the city as a bridge builder. He designed many of our bridges, the Meridian Street Bridge, and many of the bridges still in the city were designed by him, including a very nice bridge out near Riverside Park. And then he becomes an investor in this Riverside Amusement Park, which is basically just across the street from the city park.
And what did it do to differentiate itself from the other two after they opened? What was so special about Riverside?
Well, there was a big splash, pardon the pun, in 1906, really, with all of this competition happening at once. And they had added a lot of new attractions. They had, you know, made their roller coasters bigger. They still had the old mill ride, but they converted it into a new kind of a ride and redid it, repainted all the cars to look like a cartoon that was in the funnies at the time, and added a lot of other attractions to the park, entertainment attractions as well.
Basically, the three parks had similar rides.
They're very similar. They all had different names, except they all had a shoot the chutes. They all had at least one kind of a spectacular, which would be a reenactment of a huge fire or a huge disaster or a volcano erupting or some kind of a spectacular disaster kind of attraction that you went inside and saw reenacted. They all had that sort of thing. They even shared very similar acts, but not exactly the same acts. So I do recall Riverside having a lot of Wild West shows, for instance, that you didn't see at some of the other parks, and maybe that's because they had a lot more space to work with at Riverside.
The attractions weren't the only similarity. All three parks discourage patronage by people of color. Former State Representative Bill Crawford says he rarely got to go to Riverside.
One day a year, Borden's Milk Top Day. Borden's was a milk company, and they you had to have a milk top and your admission fee, and you got to go there one time a year. Once.
In a 1991 interview on WFYI's Across Indiana program, former Riverside owner John L. Coleman said the signs displayed at the park did not say whites only.
I did not say whites only. The thing said patronage. Whites only solicited. In other words, with the right of free speech, I have the right to say whom I want, a positive. I could not say a negative, whites only.
The changing racial landscape of the neighborhood, protests, and declining attendance were some of the factors that pushed Riverside to change its policy in 1964. Historian Connie Ziegler.
Riverside stayed open for many decades. I remember going to Riverside as a kid, as a matter of fact.
Me too.
Riverside has a brand new attraction called the Scrambler. Bring the whole family for a festival of fun tonight at Riverside Amusement Park on West 30th Street at White River Parkway.
Yeah, in the late 60s. So they were the last ones there, and they were still depending on the same old recipe. You know, a lot of big rides, adding bigger and bigger roller coasters. They had a dance hall. All of the parks had dance halls. Their dance hall became a roller rink later on at Riverside.
The thrill is gone away.
What will we see if we went out to the old location now?
Well, that became kind of a bit of a controversy. The park closed in the 70s. Some of the attractions, the roller coasters were demolished early on. Some little ancillary buildings were still there in the late 80s. And then finally, the property owner had been trying to redevelop that property for a long time, and the city wouldn't let him because they thought it was a contaminated property. But eventually, I guess that went away, and it is now a subdivision.
Podcasts of this series, along with images and more information about each of Indy's amusement parks, is available on our website, wfyi.org.